The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 19th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my best friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. I am so excited about today's show. Joining me on the phone will be Rosita Stevens-Holsley, is a dynamic educator, writer, activist, and niece of attorney, civil rights activist, poet, and one of the co-founders of the National Organization for Women Now, Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray. We'll be talking about her aunt Pauli, who contributed so much during the civil rights and women's movements. In fact, it was actually a Dr. Murray who wrote the brief for the first time that Ruth Bader Ginsburg went in front of the Supreme Court to argue for women's rights. Well, we come a long way, baby, but I'll tell you something. The way it looks now, they want to take everything away from us, keep us in the kitchen, and keep us pregnant. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, I was listening. There's a show I've been listening to called I've Had It on YouTube. It's amazing. It's two women who really tell it like it is, and that's the feeling I walked away with this morning when I was listening to them. They're at the convention. As you know, the Democratic convention is happening in Chicago. What we heard from Amy Goodman, and these two women are there, and that's exactly what they said. They want to keep us in the kitchen pregnant. I mean, it's just amazing. Well, I want to do a shout out for the Sonoma County chapter of the National Organization Women Now for hosting the now annual California conference. It was an amazing event, and I got to tell you something. We had a technical glitch. It was one of the best programs that I've ever been involved with. And I don't know if I mentioned, you know, we were not here last week. And that's because I had a severe, and I mean a severe case of vertigo. And I'm so sorry that I was not able to do the show last week. But I had to take a break. And then we had the convention. I mean, I actually ended up in the hospital, you know, for a whole day, just checking me all over from head to toe. And I'm happy to report that I am fine. And I was able to go to the conference. I was able to do my part for it. But boy, when I found out that it wasn't recorded, I'm telling you, I had to have spiritual counseling. In fact, I think I'm still recovering from it. So what I'm going to do in the second part of the show, I'm going to do a shout out for everybody who was at the conference and give a mini overview of what happened. And the most exciting thing, and where I'm going to have her on next week, is Ana Salgado was with me. We did the Women's Spaces Pledge, and I'm going to be interviewing Ana next week. She just went to Washington, D.C. to protest for immigrants' rights. And she's just an amazing woman. And she did the pledge in Spanish, and it just made all the difference in the world. Well, so much history is being made. You know, so many things are happening in our world. You know, like I said, you know, the conference was a huge success. I mean, and I can't wait to just talk about it and give you an overview. But right now, I want to do our segment, which is called Our History, Our Strength. No, I think what I'm going to do before I do the segment, I have a few announcements to make. First of all, a very exciting thing is happening at the Peace and Justice Center. Hold on a minute. Let me get that. I have this little pink piece of paper. It's an introduction to Code Pink, a local peace economy project. You know, Code Pink are Women for Peace. It was started by a woman by the name of Medea Benjamin. Actually, my poetry book and this show is dedicated to them. I think of them as truly Women for Peace. I mean, Medea Benjamin has taken more risk in her lifetime than I could take in mine. I'll tell you that much. Jody, let's see, Jody, what's Jody's last name? Jody Evans, who is also another founder with Medea, has written a book, and she's going to be at the Peace's Justice Center, and they're going to be doing a wonderful, wonderful conference, and they are at 467 Sebastopol Avenue in Santa Rosa. And if you want to find out more about it, just go to Peace and Justice Center, Santa Rosa, and they have all the information. But it's going to be happening August 30th, that's the end of the month, from 6 to 7:30. And I really encourage people to go just to support Jody because of the marvelous, marvelous things that Code Peak has done. I mean, I'm just honored to know them and honored to make this announcement. They are amazing, amazing women. And also tonight at 7 o'clock, we will be having the NOW chapter meeting, and you can go to www.nowsonomacounty.org, and you can find all the information on how to get on the Zoom. All people are welcome, and we really try to encourage people who are members of NOW to actually attend the meeting. Lots to go on. We're going to be discussing the conference and moving forward. There were some amazing women at the conference. I mean, just amazing. We actually had the vice president flew out all the way from Washington, D.C. to come to our event. And we had Molly Murphy McGarriger, the founder of the National Women's History Project, now called the National Women's History Alliance. She did a speech. Kim Hester Williams from Sonoma State, who has a strong background in African-American black women history. She was just amazing, read some poems. I'm going to go over this at the end. And a third person was a member of our board here at KBBF, and that's Madonna Feather Cruz. And she was just amazing, and also because of Madonna, we had an opening prayer by a Native leader here in our community, Charlie Toledo, and I'm going to talk a little bit about her later on the second half of the show, but what a blessing that she gave all of us. It was just truly exciting. So shout out again, rah, rah, we did it, but oh, when I got to tell you guys something. I was so excited. I'm telling everybody, oh, my God, you got to watch it. You got to see it. And when I found out it wasn't recorded, like I said, I had to have spiritual counseling. But, you know, one of the things about life that I'm learning more than anything else, and that's just to let go. You know, life happens. You just let go. You know, you can't stress over all these things. You know, you can't get yourself aggravated. Life's too short. And I'll tell you something. I know life's too short because I woke up one morning and I was 84 years old, and I said to myself, how in the heck did that happen? Amazing. Oh, one last shout out I want to do is to my dear, dear friend, Megan Gordon. If it were not for Megan, I would not have been able to go to the conference. I'm telling you, she picked me up, set up my table, held my hand through the whole thing. So Megan, if you're listening, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. As far as I'm concerned, you're one of the most beautiful women that I know, and how much I appreciate you. I mean, I cannot express it, to be honest with you. And one last thing I want to say, and I was going to give her a shout out. She's going for some treatment. She's struggling with different physical challenges, is my dear friend, Nikki Doran. Nikki, if you're listening, a shout out for you. And of course, a shout out to my two, Daniel and of course, Randy Hurley, who are there listening to us. Hi, Randy. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I mean, I have two loyal male friends. Let me tell you something. Daniel and do you remember Daniel's last name, Ken?
Hemingway.
Oh, Daniel Hemingway. I thought so. I mean, I have two males that are just such dedicated fans that I have to give them a shout out and a big thank you. Well, let's go into do our history is our strength. And because I was out last week, I still have to honor this woman. She was born August 14, 1935. And that was on August 14, 1935. It wasn't that she was born. Frances Perkins, the first woman to serve as the U.S. Secretary of Labor, plays a pivotal role as the architect behind the Social Security Act, which was signed into law by Franklin D. Roosevelt. This landmark legislation, which established the Social Security program, celebrates its 89th anniversary on August 14th, marking a crucial step in providing financial security for millions of Americans. And you know, there are many people out there, don't listen to mainstream media, radio or television. They listen to Fox News and some of the, I don't know what side they're on, but they don't get all the information. You know, if we're not careful who we elect, you know, this year, you know, our Social Security is on the line for chopping. You know, they want that money. So we really have to pay attention. And now we can get into birthdays. On August 19th, she was born August 19th, 1920. She made her transition in 1999. That was Donna Allen. She was the founder of the Women's Institute for Freedom of the Press in 1972 to publicize and research women's issues, which she thought were ignored by the mainstream media. You know, I want to make a comment here that I think is very important. There are many, many, many beautiful, talented, educated women that are on the air now. And I do not understand why they're not barking a lot louder about what's happening with our rights to choose, women's rights to choose. You know, there was actually a report done. You know, I'm trying to find it. I can just give you a quick overview, but some of the horrors that had happened across the United States because of the dropping or the letting go of Roe versus Wade. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, and I just want to say one thing, you know, why am I for abortion or why am I against abortion? I'm neither one. I'm for choice. But on the abortion issue, it is so important that we really look at it. And for me, I have a very personal story. I had an aunt. She had three children. Her husband had a nervous breakdown, and suddenly she finds she's pregnant, and we had to take her to get an abortion. She was beside herself. Well, what do you think we did? We found a backdoor person. You know, you go kind of underground to find somebody, and it happened. You know, you see that little coat hanger every once in a while? Well, that's exactly how it happened. You know, they take a coat hanger, and they kind of puncture something, and then you go home, and you go into labor, and you have a miscarriage. Well, when we got home, my aunt went into labor, and all of a sudden, folks, I'm telling you something, there was blood all over the wall. It looked just like someone had painted that bedroom, and my mother and I were there with her. We called the emergency room. We were hysterical about it. The woman says to us, it sounds like an abortion. If we bring her in, we're going to have to try to save the baby, and we hung up, and we're just like, nuts, what the hell are we supposed to do? Here's this woman bleeding. But all of a sudden, by the grace of God, you know, she aborted the child. We rushed her to the emergency room. 3 pints of blood laying there, not knowing, a mother of three children, not knowing if she would survive. But she did. She lived to 92 years old. So blessed. I mean, it's really, well, you better believe when it came to people and all of a sudden the awareness about making abortion legal, you would better believe that I was one of the first women out there fighting and marching for that right. We've come a long way, ladies, and it's all on the chopping block, so we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. In 1920, women went to jail. Women were waterboarded. They were beaten. During the parades, glass was thrown at them to get the vote. It was not an easy challenge. It was not an easy thing that happened. It took a lot of effort, a lot of energy, and a lot of abuse. There was a lot of abuse. So you have to think about it. So it's very important that we vote. And I have to be honest, you know, I'm not, you know, the opinions here are not necessarily the opinion of the station, but I have to say this one thing is that if it might be that in my lifetime, which I thought I'd never see, we might just have a woman president and a woman of diversity. That's number one. And, you know, they're throwing this DEI thing around. And I found out what DEI meant. It's diversity.
Equity
and inclusion. And that was set up so you would have more fairness on the workplace. So women can have more opportunities, DEI, not only women, men too, men of color, you know, men who have different persuasions or ideas sexually. I mean, this was what DEI was all about, to bring more diversity to the world, and they're making it like it's a dirty word. Well, lots to think about. Well, we are going to take a musical break now, and I am really excited about this. I am going to play, you know, when we return, joining me on the phone will be Rosita Stephen Holsey, who's a dynamic educator, writer, activist, and niece of attorney, civil rights activist, poet, and one of the co-founders of the National Organization for Women, Reverend Dr. Pauley. We'll be talking about her Aunt Pauley, who contributed so much during the civil rights and women's movement, and to the National Organization for Women, of course. And Murray is actually, they just did a women's coin for her, a 25-cent coin, and we're going to talk about that. So let's go ahead, Ken. We're going to play a dark statement, and it's by Razin and Courtney. So let's go ahead, Ken, and let's get Rosita on the phone.
Hope is a crushed stalk between clenched fingers. Hope is a bird's wing broken by a stone. Hope is a word in a tuneless ditty, a word whispered with the wind. A dream of 40 acres and a mule. A cabin of one's own and a moment to rest. A name and a place for one's children and children's children at last. Hope is a song in a weary throat. Give me a song of hope and a world where I can sing it. Give me a song of faith and a people to believe in it. Give me a song of kindliness and a country where I can live it. Give me a song of hope and love and a brown girl's heart to hear it. I sing of a new American, separate from all others, yet enlarged and diminished by all others. I am the child of kings and serfs, freemen and slaves, having neither superiors nor inferiors. Progeny of all colors, all cultures, all systems, all beliefs, I have been enslaved, yet my spirit is unbound. I have been cast aside, but I sparkle in the darkness. I have been slain, but live on in the rivers of history. I seek no conquest, joy, no wealth, joy, no power, joy, no revenge. I seek only discovery of the illimitable heights and depths of my own being. Hope is a crushed stalk between clenched fingers. Hope is a bird's wing broken by a stone. Hope is a word in a tuneless ditty, a word whispered with the wind, a dream of 40 acres and a mule, a cabin of one's own and a moment to rest, a name and a place for one's children and children's children at last. Hope is a song in a weary throat.
Song is just amazing. I don't believe in hope. You know, I really don't. I believe in action and just get something done. That's the way I believe. Well, this is amazing. It's just amazing day. For you folks just listening, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. And I also want to let you know that the piece that we just read, Dark Statement, was actually written. Testament. Was actually written, pardon?
Testament.
Dark Testament. Why do I have statement? I mean, this is amazing. Thank you so much. Actually, it was written by Dr. Polly Murray. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. On the phone with me is Rosita Stephen Holse. Welcome, Rosita. Welcome to Women's Spaces. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you on. It's just so much fun. This is our second interview, and I'm just thrilled to talk about you. So can I tell our listeners just a little bit about you this morning?
Of course.
Okay, Rosita Stephens. Pronounce your last name for me, Rosita.
Stevens-Holsey.
Oh, Holsey. Oh, I got it right. I'm very, very happy about that. Is a dynamic educator, writer, activist, and community engager focusing on sharing stories of historical and pioneering voices for children and adults to be inspired. In the spirit of enhancing the legacy of her aunt, Reverend Dr. Polly Murray, Rosita has co-authored with Terry Costesis Jennings a biography entitled Polly Murray, The Life of Pioneering Feminist and Civil Rights Activist. And I have to just put a little plug in here. It's one of the best books I've read and one of the easiest books that I've read. It's just amazing. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Education and from State University of New York and a Master's in Counseling and Human Services from Boston University. Rosita is the president and founder of Preserving Polly Murray LLC and is a proud board member of the National Women's History Alliance of Santa Rosa, California, and the Polly Murray Center for History and Social Justice in Durham, North Carolina. Is there anything you'd like to add, Rosita?
No, I think that's enough about me.
Okay, well, a little background. I want to do a little background for my listeners. We just held the California Conference for the Women now in Sonoma County, and I'm proud to say that our Sonoma County chapter sponsored the event. And I want to talk about your aunt and her involvement with the NOW organization, as she is one of the founders. And as you found out about that bit about her history, can you talk about her life? What were some of the challenges she faced, and what impact did she have personally?
Well, she is a person who, throughout her life, from being a small child, faced a lot of obstacles and oppression. She moved from Baltimore when her mother died, when she was three, to Durham, North Carolina, to live with her aunt, whom she was named after. And so she was thrown into a situation of Jim Crow laws and policies, which she was astute enough to notice. So she realized that she was treated like a second-class citizen, and the schools that she went to were segregated and did not meet the same standard as what other people did. She knew that she had to sit in the back of the bus, couldn't eat in many restaurants, and that it was a situation of separate but equal, but it was not really separate but equal. So as she began her professional life, she became interested in supporting causes where they were fighting for equality. And before now, she worked with Martin Luther King and the various persons who supported his efforts. She became a little disillusioned with that group because for the March on Washington, women were relegated to almost being non-existent as far as she was concerned. Rosa Parks was considered the godmother of the civil rights movement, but as a female, she was not allowed to walk with the men, as they always do, arm in arm, when they're having various marches. She wasn't allowed to sit on the stage during that march. And during the whole program, the only woman on the stage was Mahalia Jackson because she was performing. So Aunt Polly felt that women weren't taken as seriously as men, and also that their needs weren't really being addressed. And she decided that there needed to be an organization with the same kind of emphasis, the same kind of strength, hopefully the same kind of outcomes that the NAACP had had and Martin Luther King's group had had. And so she began thinking about an organization that would do the same things for women, therefore including all of the citizens in the United States, because there were already organizations that fought for men's rights. And one of her dearest friends was Eleanor Roosevelt. And Eleanor Roosevelt had gotten her interested in working on the Commission on the Status of Women, which was under the auspices of the White House. And Aunt Polly had become formally involved with that. And there were several dozen women who were on that commission and who met from time to time to put together some research for President Kennedy. When they were there, they were working on a proposal of what they thought should be presented to the powers that be. And in it, they were including what women needed. And men being in charge refused to even address their attempt to have this done. And so they talked about it and said, if, you know, we're not going to be supported in this effort, then we need to form our organization, our own organization, to address what women need and what women deserve. And because they already had women who were working on the issues of women through the White House and the Commission on the Status of Women, they each put in $5 and sat down and wrote what they thought their goals should be and what they wanted to accomplish. And that was really the beginning of NOW. And she worked with them for several years. She was quite pleased that the organization had actually been founded and begun. And she was also knew that the women who were involved were, you know, movers and shakers and people who should get things done. But Aunt Polly was one of these people that if you say you're going to do something, she expects you to do it. And if or when an organization seems to either change what their goals are or move away in some way to what she thought was important, she more than likely is going to move on and decide, maybe I need to get involved with someone else who will really address these issues that I feel are important.
I want to inject something here. One of the things that I really believe she was really discouraged about, because there was not encouragement for women of color to be involved. And I think that was a real issue at the beginning of NOW. And it definitely has changed. I mean,
absolutely,
women have actually progressed. I mean, when we brought in, I mean, you're part of the National Women's History Alliance. And in fact, it's so interesting because we just had the NOW conference and they were going to go to San Francisco. And I said, San Francisco, what are, you know, come on, Sonoma County, you know, the National Women's History Alliance. My God, Murphy McGregor and that group, I mean, what an amazing thing they did. And now you're on the board of directors, am I correct?
I am. I'm executive vice president.
Ooh.
And I started getting involved in 2018 when, unbeknownst to me, there was this wonderful organization that had begun, like you said, in Sonoma County, and was very strong in California, but also a national organization. And I went to accept an award for Aunt Polly's work and was just mesmerized by all of the things that the National Women's History Alliance had done throughout 30 or more, almost 40 years.
What was so interesting, what was so interesting about the conference is I found out how many women are actually not aware of the National Women's History Project and also, Alliance, and are also not aware that it happened in Sonoma County, but we let them know about it, Rosita.
I'm sure you did.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you, I want you to know that just knowing you has given me, because when I adopted Polly Murray as a hero and I had no idea, and then when I met you, it was really excited. Well, really, the, today's shows is what we're doing is we're going to announce, I want everybody to know that in I believe it was in 2024, that's this year, Dr. Polly Murray, there's a quarter, it's the 11th coin in the American Quarters program. Can you talk a little bit about that? What is that and why is that important?
Well, I would love to. First of all, I think it was a long time coming. One of your representatives from California, Congresswoman Barbara Lee.
Yay, Barbara.
Yes, she and Congressman, I believe it was Gonzalez, wrote up a bill which amazingly got passed for what is called the American Women's Quarter Program. And in this program, they got Congress to agree that women would be honored on a quarter, five women a year, from 2020, because they're in the third year now, excuse me, to next year will be the last year. And the National Women's History Museum and the Smithsonian and the U.S. Mint and I believe a couple of other organizations co-sponsored investigating, well, what women should be honored. And one of the things that I think was such a wonderful outcome of that was that this gave women from all cultures the opportunity to be honored. Some we know, some we've heard of, like Eleanor Roosevelt and Maya Angelou, and others are hidden figures that have done so much for this country, but, you know, aren't in the history books. Aunt Polly was one of about 300 people who was suggested. So as a part of that, they reach out to the family. They tell you what the program is about. They want to make sure, you know, you don't have a problem with, and who would, you know, with the family member being on a U.S. Mint quarter. And then they have to investigate and research as to why that person was selected to be considered. So I spent a couple of months working with the U.S. Mint about Aunt Polly. Of course, I was thrilled. The family was very excited. And they whittled down the 300, I think, to maybe about 50, and they had to continue to make it smaller, and then they had to present their list of women, possible awardees, to Secretary Yellen or whoever was the, you know, Secretary of the Treasury. And Aunt Polly was one of the lucky ones who was selected and approved, and there's a wait time. So once the people are approved, it's kept very secret until the director of the U.S. Mint announces it. And normally they announce the first five, and the public knows who they are, and they get a brief abstract of why those women were selected.
Is it available at right now?
Yes, the list is on the U.S. Mint's website. So all of the women now are known. But they did it. They started with the first five, and they told you who they were. And then maybe a half a year later, they told you what the dates were, the release. So each quarter is released at a different time throughout that year that the person is going to be on it.
Is it released? Is it released in the public? So, for example, if a woman goes to the grocery store, there could possibly be a quarter.
That is an excellent question. I knew in 2023 that Aunt Polly would definitely be on the quarter, and she happened to be the first person for 2024. I had always believed she might be the first one, which she was number 11 out of all of them, but for her year, she was the first, and I thought perhaps she would be because she, because Black History Month is in February, and for her year and for many years, there are people who represent Hispanic Americans, there are Asian Americans, there are Native Americans, white Americans, and Black Americans. So I think it was just wonderful, the different cultures that people were selected from, the different backgrounds that the people represented, and from the arts like Maya Angelou to Eleanor Roosevelt. I think Betsy Coleman is in the last group. So it's a wealth of women who have contributed to the growth and the history of our country. And what I'm hoping is that I can convince Congresswoman Barbara Lee or my congressman to continue this program. We have always had women who helped build this country, and it shouldn't stop in 2025. I believe that women should continue to be on circulating money forever because of the contributions that we have already made and the contributions that we will continue to make.
Let's hold that. Let's hold it with that thought. We're just so fast coming to the end of the segment here. And before we go, I have to ask you a very personal question.
Okay.
What does it feel like to have Kamala Harris running for president of the United States, a woman of color, a diverse woman, racially diverse, and married to a Jewish man? Can it get any better?
I know.
Can it get any better?
All the boxes. I am personally thrilled. I had the pleasure of sitting through about an hour of her talking without any notes at Howard University. So I was very impressed by her about 5 or 6 years ago, of course, as a vice president. And because she also was Attorney General of California, and Aunt Polly was the first African-American Deputy Attorney General for California. So there was that connect. And I had always looked and sort of wanted to know more about Kamala Harris. So I'm thrilled. Aunt Polly would be thrilled. And I'm a part of a national program for people to get out and vote. And so I'm not only keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm working, I guess you would say, behind the scenes to get out as many people as I can to vote. And
Rosita, it is always a pleasure and an honor to speak to you. And we've come to the end of the segment, so I would like last words, any message you would like to give, tell people where they can get one of the quarters, your website. I know you're very involved with the Dr. Polly Murray Center, which is amazing that we actually have a historic center dedicated to her. anything that you feel is important, just let our audience know.
Well, her childhood home in Durham, North Carolina, will open this September 7th. It is a National Historic Landmark because of her. And we will be cutting the ribbon on September 7th. Also, it is possible, but maybe not likely, that people may come across one of her quarters in a grocery store or 7-Eleven or something like that. But you can order them by the roll from the U.S. Mint directly. And you have to either buy two rolls of quarters or three rolls of quarters, but they are still available that way. Also, if someone's interested in my work to uplift her legacy and to find out what's going on all around the country in reference to Pauli Murray, they can look at our website, Preserving Pauli Murray, the same name as the Instagram, the YouTube, and the Facebook, Preserving Pauli Murray. So I'd love to hear from anyone, and I'd also love to help anyone who wants to find out more information about her. And I go around the country speaking about her, and I, you know, love to speak to any group that's interested in hearing about her on Zoom or in person.
Well, Rosita, I want to say on the airways, I just adore you, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a great, great guest, for talking about the quarter, talking about your wonderful, wonderful aunt and the contributions that she made. So thank you so much, and I want my listeners to know that all the information that Rosita gave us will also be on www.womenspaces.com. So don't worry, we'll have plenty of information. And also, Rosita, I want to let you know, and I will be sending this to you, we did a 2025 calendar for the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapters, and in our area, and also through history. And we did present the picture of the quarter and a picture of this beautiful, inspiring woman. So thank you so much again, and I look forward to talking to you again. And thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a blessed day.
You're quite welcome. All righty.
Bye-bye for now. Well, Rosita is one of my favorite people in the whole world. And look at this, a quarter to honor such a wonderful, wonderful woman. Well, we're going to take a quick musical break. We're going to play Gather the Women by Earth Mama. And we're going to give an overview of the conference, some of the presenters, and some of the thoughts and ideas I have on it. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that song. And I just want to thank all my listeners out there. I love all of you, and I know you're out there. I know you're dedicated, you know. And also, go on our website and also our, you know, support the stations that we're on. And also, if you'd like to contribute anything to anything, let's just, you know, we're always open to that. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that.
From all around, colors and countries, sizes and shapes, beauty abounds. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited for. Gather the women, wisdom and song, honoring spirit, feminine grace, waited so long. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited for. Gather the women from all around, colors and countries, sizes and shapes, beauty abounds. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited for. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited for.
We are the ones we've been waiting for. Well, a bunch of us gathered. We gathered on October and August, because my granddaughter's getting married in August, in October. On August the 10th, we gathered at the Church of the Roses here in Santa Rosa, and it was amazing. It was amazing. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm grateful for all you out there listening, and I'm going to give you a recap of what happened at the National Organization for Women's, the NAL California Conference. It happened here in Sonoma County, and I'm very sad to announce that we had a computer glitch and we were unable to record it. What a loss. I mean, I had to go to spiritual counseling to overcome that loss. It was that big to me. But here we are. We got to let go and move on to the next thing, and I want to do some shout-outs. I want to thank everybody that was on the committee, our own president here in Sonoma County, Camarena Davidson, who is the president of the California, all of California, Cheryl Davidson, who's the secretary of the California NAL organization. And then we have Geraldine Stapleton, and she was a former president and forever involved. Karen Ayers, Karen Severid, and Rick Humpton, who is also in San Francisco. And Rick is trying to develop a NAL organization in San Francisco, so I would keep my eyes and ears open for that. And we had so many people tabling. It was just amazing. I'm going to have a whole list of all these people on and our sponsors. We sponsored it. Women's Spaces sponsored it. The League of Women Voters sponsored it. SoCal LGBTQ1, Sonoma County NAL, the Sonoma County Democratic Party, Women's Spaces, Contra Costa NAL, CAMPS, Women, Black Women's United, and Addie Ellis. Let me tell you something. Addie Ellis, if you get a chance, she wrote a book called The Black Butterfly. And I'm telling you, this woman, she pinned it. She pinned us and to get us to really start thinking about what racism is. And I just could not believe the speakers that we had that were just amazing. You know, first of all, I have to do a million shout outs for Madonna Feather Cruz, because I invited her as a speaker, and the most amazing thing is she invited Charlie Toledo, who is she's the director of the so-called International Intertribal Council, and she's of the Tawa, T-O-W-A descent. And she is an amazing woman. She opened it with a prayer. And, you know, I had vertigo, and by the grace of God, my dear friend Megan Gordon helped me to get to the conference and do what I had to do. But I want to do a shout out for Charlie Toledo. She sang a song that I closed my eyes, and so help me. I felt like I went through the whole, while I was there, I had very, very little issues after she sang that beautiful song. It was just amazing. And then, of course, another amazing thing about it was that we had the vice president from National come down to Sonoma County to honor us. And she made Bear Atwood. And, you know, I asked Bear, you know, I says, is that your real name, Bear? Well, it was a nickname, and she loved it. And she just gave this absolutely wonderful, welcoming speech to everybody. It was such an honor. If Bear is listening, it was a total honor to have you there with us. It was just so inspiring. And then, who do you think comes on after number one and number two? First we had Charlie Toledo, then we had Bear Atwood speak, and then here comes Elaine and Anna Salgado doing the Women's Spaces prayer and pledge. And I really want to do a shout out for my dear friend, Anna Salgado. She just came back from Washington, D.C., protesting for immigrant rights, and stood right beside me. She knew I was having some difficulty, made sure that I was steady, and I did the pledge, and the response from the audience was just amazing. Everybody had a card, and I made him repeat it twice at the end because it wasn't loud enough for me. That's usually what I do, but Anna did it in Spanish, and I had everybody close their eyes and listen to her, and I got to say, Anna, you did an absolutely beautiful, beautiful job. And then we went into all the speakers. Oh, my God. Oh, the array of speakers were just amazing. And a shout out to Cheryl Davidson, who did a wonderful job as the MC. It was just amazing. She just kept everything rolling. So I want to do a shout out for all the speakers that were on there. We had Molly Murphy McGregor, the co-founder of the National Women's History Alliance. She's one of the co-founders, and she was talking about the History Alliance, and she, wonderful, she told the story about when Jimmy Carter's office called her. She had to put down the phone when they said, hello, is Molly McGregor there? This is President Carter's office. And she just put the phone down, and then they let her know that she had been awarded, that women had been awarded a whole week in March for Women's History Week. And then later on, her and her group lobbied for Women's History Month. And that's how we have the National Women's History Alliance. And we all need to educate ourselves. You know, I was so shocked to find out how many women don't know about that. I mean, especially younger generation. So I really encourage you, go on the internet. It's the National Women's History Alliance and NWHP, and you will be able to see what it's all about. It is just amazing. They brought women's history to the forefront. When Molly and I we went to Sonoma State together one day, and we were walking to class. This was in 1974. And she was telling me that they're putting out a book in women in art. And I said to her, Molly, are there women artists? I didn't even know there were women artists. I mean, I had no idea. I never knew before of, you know, we talked about Polly Murray. I didn't know about Polly Murray until Women's History. I didn't even know about Ida B. Wells till Women's History. I mean, many, many of these Black courageous women, I knew nothing about them until they did this. So a shout out to Molly Murphy McGregor for showing up and for giving us her time and her wisdom. And then our second speaker, oh, my God, I can't thank her enough, Dr. Kim D. Hester Williams. She's a Sonoma State professor in literature at Sonoma State University. She teaches African-American literature from the early to the contemporary period. And she's just an amazing woman and gave such an amazing talk and read a poem that was so beautiful. In fact, I'm going to call her. I want to get that poem, and I want to recite it on the air, even have her recite cited on the air. It was so, so fabulous. And of course, we had Madonna Feather Cruz. What a woman. I got to tell you, Madonna, if you're listening, Madonna and I took a picture together, and I hate taking a picture, but I swear to God, just being in her presence and having her next to me, I never looked so good. I'm going to post that picture on Women's Spaces. You've got to see it. And she wore a hat that was so stunning that she's just a stunning woman, and what she had to say was so powerful about the Native American women and some of the issues that they're going through. And, of course, bringing Charlie Toledo to the event was just beyond the pale for me. It was, I mean, I'm just so excited about the whole thing. It was just amazing. It really was. And then there was a workshop, and the workshop was just amazing. It's a Be an Ally workshop. It was done by a woman by the name of Addie Ellis. She's the one who wrote the book, The Black Butterfly. Her talk covers her newly released book, like I said, The Black Butterfly, which was released in December of 2023. She's an educator, a researcher, a speaker, a strategic coach, and author of Black Butterfly. And she talks all over the country. And then the last workshop we had was getting out the strategies for the ERA, the Equals a Right Amendment. And then Cheryl Davidson led us all in a get out the vote experience. It was an amazing event. And I'm sorry it wasn't recorded, but I'm going to try to bring pieces. I'm going to try to bring some of the presenters on the air so we can hear what they had to say, because it's something that the memory of it is so deep in my heart that I want to thank all the women that showed up. And, of course, all the tables we had. We had every women's group in Sonoma County. And a shout out to Carol Singer in our in our National Organization for Women Sonoma County chapter. She put out a 2025 calendar that is beyond the pale. And all that information about the calendar is on the website, www.womenspaces.com. And the most exciting thing about it is it's just amazing. We have the coins listed in the calendar, and we also have our own president, Alicia Sanchez, is also honored in the calendar. It's just amazing. And you can see a picture of me when I gave the graduation speech in 1975, which was quite an honor. The first woman student that ever gave an honorary speech at a graduation at Sonoma State University. And a shout out to the League of Women Voters and all the wonderful people, Sydney Davenport. She got her grandmother on the calendar. What? I can't remember her name again. Marble Perry, an amazing, amazing woman, amazing, amazing woman. It's just an amazing calendar. Well, you know, I've gone through a spiritual awakening. I have learned in my heart of hearts to let go. You know, one of the things I just want to share with people, the most important thing about letting go is first get into your feelings. Don't be afraid to get into your feelings. When I first found out it wasn't recorded, I just went ballistic. I mean, I got angry, depressed, everything all at the same time. And I went through a whole process until finally I got to the point where I said, you know, I do the pledge, and I'm going to do it the end of the month. I always do the pledge, and it says, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. So whatever it is, ladies, let go, let go, let go. Nothing is worth holding on to. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you to Rosita Holsley for being such a great guest. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time. And remember, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that.
So easily, she knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 19th, 2024.